It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket with your host, Dr. Tio Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 888-787-1310.
Good Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome to Inside Sports Medicine. I am your host, Dr. T.O. Soriao, live in the studio on this New Year's Day 2022. You say, what? What are you doing live in the studio at 7 in the morning on New Year's Day? Well, I'll tell you a little bit later. Joining me in the studio this morning, Dr. Brad Ballard, Dr. Scott Blumenthal. Yes, they're both here live in the studio, not on Zoom.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Man. My guess is you partied hard last night.
Did not.
which is why we're all in the studio.
Yeah.
So there's, first of all, thank you all for joining us. We are proud to be starting our 22nd year on the air. Kind of mind-boggling. There's a couple of new things. So we all kind of gave up on the 6 o'clock hour simply because I'm old, and to get up at 4 and prep and be ready for 6 was a little bit taxing. But there's some business reasons which I'm not going to trouble you with. We are terribly, terribly excited about launching a podcast that goes along with the show, and we have been struggling taking a two-hour show, which is an hour and 20 minutes of live content, and shrinking it down to the desired 45-minute podcast. So what we've decided to do, and this is maybe perhaps the lazy way out, is just do a 45-minute show, and that way there's not a lot of trimming to be done. So things that you're not going to get, you're no longer going to get the debate as to who's better, Britney Spears or Taylor Swift. That's gone. We decided to eliminate that. You're not going to get what movie did you watch last night, but you're going to get a lot of teaching. You're going to get a lot of teaching. There'll be, of course, the usual banter.
No French fry debates?
No French fry debates.
French fry. Oh, dude, we got to... Really? No French fry debates?
No burger debates?
No.
I lost. And there's, I lost that negotiation.
And there's going to be a little feeling out. It's been a long time since Inside Sports Medicine was an hour. You know, we started off as a half-hour show back in 2001, and that was clearly not enough. Then we quickly went to an hour and then 2 hours, and it's been maybe 15 years since it was an hour.
Yeah, we kind of got used to this two-hour thing. Could fill it.
We could easily fill 2 hours. There's just so much that happens during the week that we can fill two. Heck, we talked about filling 3 hours.
Yeah.
There was some talk about going to 3 hours.
Could have done it.
We could have done it. Nah.
Did you drink champagne last night?
I did not.
Champagne?
I did not.
I did not have anything alcoholic.
Yeah. I got I had something alcoholic, but it was not champagne.
I got to quote a friend of mine. Said, I'm not drinking tonight, just having wine.
Nice.
Yes, so, champagne is wine.
Right.
So we're going to be experimenting with you as well. There's a lot of things that have happened in the last 2 weeks because the Christmas show was a best of. And so we have some catching up to do. I watched the Madden thing the other day, and I don't know if you guys watched it, but the John Madden was an icon, and I found it sad in so many ways that 72 hours after this thing showed, he passes away.
It was
weird.
It was profound. I mean, it almost was an exclamation point, like he was waiting to see the final product.
I guess. And I didn't know that he had a health issue, but one of the things that I could relate to with John Madden. Wow, this is weird. What does T.O. Sorrell have
in common,
anything
with, John
in common with John Madden?
Besides a few extra pounds?
Shots fired.
Shots fired, indeed.
Shots fired. I'm nowhere near as big as John Madden. I take offense to that. One of the things that he said that I found very interesting and I definitely related to is he likes to teach. He said it from the very beginning of the documentary. I like to teach, and I teach in practice, and I teach when I'm in the booth. I teach.
I did not know that the gap between coaching and broadcast, he went and taught at UC Berkeley.
100%. I didn't know that either.
Fascinating.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. What did he teach?
He taught something to do with
intro
football.
Intro to football, yeah.
Yeah.
How to watch football or something like that.
Yeah, how to understand football. It was a class at UC Berkeley.
But the point here is we're here this morning because we all three like to teach.
Yeah.
It is so important that my patient understands what's wrong with them and what the options are. To me, that first visit, that whenever we have a pre-op visit, it is all about teaching. And I found myself thinking, I've probably taught 50,000 people at least, not counting the radio people, over the years. Scott teaches them, Brad teaches, I teach. We're not going to bitch about medicine on this particular episode, but the problem with medicine now is we don't have time to teach.
Mm.
We don't have time to sit and teach, so you have to pass it off to an extender, or you have them watch a video, or hey, Google this and you know learn what there is to do about a patellar tendon rupture. We don't have. We love to teach.
That is interesting that you say that, because we've got these internet resources now for what's a microdiscectomy?
Right. Google it.
Yeah, here's a card with a website, yep. And here check mark and Google it, and we'll talk next time.
Yeah, and I don't want to leave Madden just yet, but I did find that his passion about teaching, I could relate to, that's what I took away
from most from that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I loved about Madden is he was himself.
Yes, that was the thing that I really enjoyed about Madden.
He was himself.
I mean, he when you watched this, so I'm curious to hear what you guys remember about Madden, because for me, and we were talking about this before the show started, was the Madden I remember was the Madden in the booth. It was the color commentary Madden, yeah. with Pat Summerall. Like I would watch the game just to listen to Madden. And, you know, he's just like, oh, yeah, boom. And, you know, like you know, and then he started drawing circles. And, like, his description was purely authentic. Like, it was 100% him. He never really did try to sugarcoat it.
Right.
He was just him.
Yeah. he talked about the guys in the trenches where no one else did before.
Yeah.
And I thought that one of the most profound things was Lawrence Taylor. So Lawrence Taylor, arguably the best defensive player of all time, said, when I knew Madden was calling my game,
I played better.
I played harder.
Yeah.
He tried. He said it elevated my game.
Wow.
Yeah. And in addition to that, he was ahead of his time. Hey, do we have that soundbite, Saad? Do we have that Madden soundbite that we can play real quick? I think this is important. Go ahead and play that.
And they're still checking McMahon. Now they'll measure. Yeah, I think if a guy has had a concussion or has a concussion, he shouldn't play anymore. I don't agree with that. I mean, they always talk about boxing and boxing being archaic, but if a boxer, a fighter gets knocked out, he can't fight for another month. And sometimes in football, we say, oh, the guy has a slight concussion, he'll be right back in. I don't know that I ever agreed with that.
McMahon doesn't look comfortable with the way he feels.
That was 20 years ago, people.
Way ahead of the time.
20 years ago. All right, quick little break. Coming right back. Inside Sports Medicine, T.O. Suriel, Brad Ballard, Scott Blumenthal. Welcome back.
Okay. So I'm curious. You said that some of the songs we listened to this morning, you were listening to on the way in.
Yep.
Was this your own music? Was this the radio?
No.
Just kind of like a shuffle of your own music?
My phone was connected to the radio, and it was playing my music on the speakers.
I'm amazed you know how to do that.
Your description of that was very slow and trying to...
I have Apple CarPlay.
Okay.
In my car.
Yes.
And the Bluetooth picked up my music instead of the radio.
Yes.
And it just so happened to be playing my
your own playlist.
My top 10.
Gotcha.
Playlist.
Okay.
Did the car pick it up, or did you deliberately Bluetooth to your car, or it just kind of happened?
It just kind of happened. Mm. And I don't know how that happened, but it's early in the morning and it didn't matter. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Three doctors just
chopping it up.
Chopping it up. So we were all talking about Madden and how authentic he was, and we played a clip which our Facebook people didn't hear about his thoughts about concussions. And what were you saying, Jacob, during the break?
That's a clip that's almost 30 years old. I believe it's from 1993.
30 years ago, John Madden said a guy who gets a concussion should sit out.
Right. Should not.
That
come
it was
back
not right for him to come back.
And it took the NFL 27 years after that to say, oh, yeah, we have this new policy that if you have a concussion, you're out.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, something.
Look, it was truly an icon. Yeah. I know nothing about the game, Madden.
Yeah.
But it put a lot of players on the map.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it became a thing, right? Like if you were on the cover of Madden.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I saw
those interviews.
Yeah, guys did not want to be on the cover of Madden because it meant that you either have a bad season or, you know, it became very superstitious.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Sports Illustrated curse.
All right, let's shift gears. And I can't let the hour go by without reminding everybody that Notre Dame is the noon game today against Oklahoma State. Notre Dame is the noon game today.
What's the line?
I have no idea, but I'll tell you. I think they might lose. Oklahoma State's good.
Which bowl is this?
The Fiesta Bowl out of Arizona, noon Dallas time.
In honor of you, I'll watch it.
Well, yep. Well, it's a New Year's tradition to watch bowl games. And
well, at least to have them on in the background.
So I'm gonna kind of give you my spiel. Three guys chopping it up. Way too many bowl games. Way too many bowl games.
Oh, it's a ton of bowl games.
The vast majority mean absolutely nothing.
And when you're done, I'd like to add on to that.
I watched the two bowl games last night, which meant something, and they were both blowouts.
Yeah.
And I just can't say that this has been a great bowl season so far. I just can't say that it has. There's been some really good games. I thought the Tennessee-Purdue game was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers, they had a losing record, and they were in a bowl game because A&M backed out.
Yeah.
I think we're still dealing with the COVID thing, but hopefully the people in power are going to expand the bowls so that we can have meaningful games.
Well, here's my point. So when you said that Notre Dame was playing in a bowl game today, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then you said that New Year's Day is all about watching bowl games.
Yep.
But segue before the college football playoffs, all the best teams were playing on New Year's Day, so you wanted to, you knew who
those
was
were
playing.
The good games, right?
Those were the good games: the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl,
good games
were the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Somehow the Fiesta Bowl got in there a little later. That was a latter day bowl.
Yeah.
But you didn't like that joke.
Weren't they the big? Weren't they the big four?
Didn't you like that joke? The latter day bowl.
The latter day bowl. Yeah.
I didn't get the joke. I didn't get it either.
We'll explain in the break. At any rate, so
yeah,
so to me, the bowl games are going to be background music. They'll be on.
Yeah.
Background, but I won't be riveted to them like I was prior to the college football
playoffs. Yeah.
So I understand the dichotomy between wanting a tournament.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. You like to have a winner because in the old days, the AP poll, UP, you know, this was the number one team, and they voted on it as opposed to having an objective measurement of a tournament. So I agree with you that it should be more.
So you remember earlier in the hour I was talking about how we like to teach. And one of the things that I always teach the residents and medical students when they rotate with us is why we do the things we do now. I think it's so important to understand the history, especially of medicine. Why do you do this procedure and not that procedure? Well, because we did this, this, and this, and they didn't work, and we did this, this, and this. There's nothing worse than reinventing the wheel every time you go into the OR. You just can't. You have to rely on, yeah, we used to do it this way, and it didn't work. Well, the history behind bowl games, and Genoval is reminding me, is that it was a reward for the youngsters for having a good season.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get that. But they have become big, big money. You know, there's sponsors that pay big money, and for some players, they have become a risk because, hey, I don't want to go to Hawaii and play a meaningless game and blow out my knee, and all of a sudden I'm not, you know, draftable.
Mm-hmm.
So the bowl games have evolved. Genoval, I think it's wonderful that they are a reward for the youngsters, and perhaps for the vast majority who are never going to go to the NFL, it is a wonderful reward. But it also makes it sometimes difficult to watch. It's not really entertaining for the dollars that are being spent.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised that they are, for the lesser bowls, that they are getting return on their investment. They must be, because why else would they be
like 80 something bowls, right? Isn't it like 83 bowls?
So to have a 6-7 team.
And the stands are empty. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. The stands are empty.
There.
That's the part that's kind of tough and weird, difficult to watch about, is because they'll score a touchdown and there's not like a whole lot of hoopla. I mean, I went to my school's bowl game here in Frisco, and there was the Tropical Smoothie something or other bowl, right? Like, and you know, the stands weren't just packed, you know. I mean,
and it's a small stadium.
So
what's the sports medicine spin here? Well, interestingly, that Brad and I are helping out some potential NFL candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next couple of Saturdays, improve or assess their draftability. I'm picking my words really
carefully.
You
are picking your words extremely carefully.
So, and this is where we're doing something that Dr. Mayer started before he left a few years ago, and we're continuing with that. Look, if you are a prospect for the NFL,
mm-hmm.
So who is my Notre Dame linebacker that blew out his knee against Ohio State?
Jalen Smith.
Yeah. It was a non-contact injury. He basically got his cleats caught on its turf and his knee hyperextended, and he suffered a terrible, terrible injury. ACL, MCL, PCL, nerve, the whole bit. He was out 2 years. And after that, or maybe even it was prior to that, the guys were thinking, why would I play in a meaningless bowl and compromise my ability to get drafted?
Mm-hmm.
So on the sports medicine side, I get it.
Yeah,
you never want to see a guy get hurt in a bowl game.
Yeah, particularly a guy who's going to be, you know, top draft pick, you know, NFL prospect.
With the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl has evolved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when NFL players play in the Pro Bowl, they're practically playing two-hand touch.
Yeah.
Do you remember old school, the first game of the NFL season, or maybe the last game, was a game of college seniors played a pro team.
It was always at
Soldier Field. It was always, and I think it was, I'm going to look it up, but it was definitely college seniors that were eligible for the draft or had just been drafted against an all-star team or the Bears or something. This is, you know, more than 30 years ago.
Yeah. Again, you've heard me say this before. The NFL has an injury problem, and perhaps I should expand that statement in that football has an injury problem.
Yeah.
It's not as obvious in the college ranks because they have 100 and some guys on the roster, but it's pretty darn obvious on the NFL ranks. I never want to see anybody get hurt. I mean, mm-hmm. our business, the whole reason we're here on a Saturday morning is because we deal with sports-related injuries. I would love nothing more than for me to take care of the team and not have a single injury during the year. Not have a single injury.
Yeah.
That would be an ideal year for me, but that's just not practical. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And to do this in an exhibition, to compromise your career in an exhibition, is unfair a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I get when guys are like, listen, you know, even if they've got a big bowl game coming up. I mean, even the running back for my alma mater, UTSA, he didn't play in the bowl game. He's like, I'm opting out.
Yep.
And he went ahead and said, you know, he's going to start training for the combine to get ready for the
draft.
You know, to get ready for the draft and not risk hurting himself.
I mean, get it.
Yeah,
get
one
it.
Game could cost, you know, millions of dollars, and so I understand that.
I'm gonna switch gears here because I have a list of things to get to today, but obviously we're not going to be able to get to all of them. This is Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard, Scott Blumenthal. So an interesting thing happened in my family / practice. Very rarely do those two spheres of my life overlap. But my brother-in-law, who lives in Denton, he called me and had kind of a curbside about his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hey, you know, I've had shoulder problems for a while. Over Thanksgiving, I slipped and I fell on my shoulder. And ever since then, I couldn't lift my arm.
Mm.
Sounded like a rotator cuff to me.
Yeah.
And Richard's a retired professor, has written textbooks, very, very intelligent gentleman. And I said, well, look, you know, you're going to have to come in, be seen, we'll examine, get an MRI, the whole bit, and figure it out. But, Richard, I think you got a rotator cuff tear. Now, mind you, very active hunter, fisherman, outdoorsman, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So he's had numerous medical experiences in the past.
Yeah.
So he comes into Texas Sports Medicine. He sees our shoulder guy, Rick Levy, and he calls on the way home and said something that I guess it shouldn't have surprised me, but it did. He said, I've never had a medical experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean? He said, I've never spent that much time with the doc. I've never had him explain to me what was wrong.
Yeah.
Never outlined to me what the plan is and what the options are.
Yeah.
He said that I didn't know this kind of medical delivery existed.
Yeah.
And that surprised me a little bit, Scott, maybe because I'm old school, but I don't know what medical delivery looks like now. I really don't.
Right. Outside of
what we do every day.
Right, right.
And what
right.
you do every day.
Yeah. There are a couple, I'll have to circulate them to you. There are a couple articles, op-eds, things like that, about how the business of medicine has changed the practice of medicine. We've talked about
them
on the show, and I've been reading them. And I finally read an article that basically delineates the corporate strategy of how to take the control of medicine away from the doctors to the corporation.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to, because of economics, getting between the doctor and the patient.
Yes.
When it's the doctor-patient relationship, things go right for them, the patient, but bad for the payer.
Right.
When there is no relationship, or there's, you know, a thin
which
relationship
makes a ton of sense.
Between the patient and the doctor,
right.
Then the companies can say, these are the three drugs you can use, these are the three you can't. This is the operation you can do, this is the operation you can't. And no one fights that. And the next generation don't have the fight that we have to say no.
Because they don't know any different. And this is the sad part. They don't know any different. We do know different. And Richard was surprised, and Richard's 70, you know? He was surprised that this kind of delivery still exists, and it does. Mm-hmm. It does at Texas Sports Medicine and the Center for Disc Replacement. One of the things that I saw a retired NFL player with a patellar tendon rupture, and he went somewhere else, and everybody knew this guy was famous. Everybody knew he was famous. He never saw the doctor.
Yeah.
He saw a PA.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're famous or not.
I had a very similar experience this week, but not a famous player, but a patient. But similar circumstance. He went for a consult. The surgeon, of course, said, I can do surgery on you. Came back after the MRI, saw the PA. The PA said, well, we have to send you to 6 weeks of physical therapy and do an injection so we can get the surgery approved. Not, we're going to try non-operative treatment first and see how you do.
I said that's
very transparent, because most of the time they won't tell you that's why they're doing this.
Look, yeah. Nothing against PAs. I'm just telling you.
But it is
such a different delivery that I made a note of it. All right, quick little break. Inside Sports Medicine, T.O. Soriel, Brad Billard, Scott Blumenthal. During this next segment, we're going to take calls if any of you... All right, funny thing.
If anybody's awake.
So our generation that went to bed early last night, they're awake. They're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
But the 20, 30-year-old demo...
Oh, millennials are not...
They got to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
888-787-1310. Let me do that again. 888-787-1310. Coming right back.
Lesser known, but excellent, excellent song.
Fantastic Elton John song. We've never really played Elton John. We played Rocket Man over the past 22 years, but I don't recall ever playing anything other than that.
Well, assuming it doesn't cancel because of the virus, there's supposed to be an Elton John concert this month in January.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel here, Brad Billard, Scott Blumenthal. So with our new one-hour-long format, one of the things you guys are notice is that the breaks are shorter, which means there's more time for content. The third segment we thought we would designate to calls, and one of our regulars is calling in, and I suspect he always has a lot to say. Good morning, Genova. How are you?
Hey, Happy New Year. It's only an hour show, so I'm not going to be, long.
You're not going to be as wordy as normal?
No, that'll be at the after show if I'm ever invited.
You will be. All right, what's up?
So I got a question. We lost in the bowl game, and I understand that there's a lot of bowl games. But I also think that it gets a lot of young kids exposure to the masses as well. Now, we were a 13-point underdog, and we wind up losing by a touchdown, unfortunately. But I also think it got exposure for a lot of our seniors, because we were supposed to get smacked, and we went in there and we went and balled out. My second question is, how do you feel about big offensive linemen having rotator cuff injuries, and do you see a lot of that?
No. So for those of you who could not hear, perhaps on the Facebook Live piece, the question was, how do I feel about offensive linemen having rotator cuff injuries, and do I see a lot of that? So my answer is no.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of that.
No.
So it is an unusual injury for a lineman, primarily, and I'm going to give you the short answer, and I'll let Brad run with the rest. Rotator cuff injuries, in my experience, have a lot to do with overhead work, and if a lineman is doing what he is supposed to do, then everything's in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there's a violent, somebody grabs your shoulder and throws it back, usually they do not get rotator cuff injuries. Brad?
Yeah. Plus, just with their youth, typically age range in the, late teens, early 20s, to see rotator cuff injuries is pretty rare, particularly if they're like non-throwers and but we do see a lot of labral stuff. So the labrum is kind of the the lip of the ball and socket to try to help keep the ball in the socket and keep the shoulder stable. And since guys are coming and pushing off that line, they're stressing the ball in the socket. And so that labrum will oftentimes get torn. But it is not uncommon, I think, for an offensive lineman to have some labral tearing, but it doesn't really stop him. A lot of these guys have some shoulder discomfort, but it's just kind of part of the, kind of part of it if they're a lineman.
So the rotator cuff is a group of muscles that attach around the ball of the socket and they hold the ball in place. The labrum is a lip of cartilage. It's kind of like a meniscus in the knee, and it provides stability. And so to answer your question, Genova, we see a lot more instability problems with football players than we do rotator cuff problems with football players. And it's a subtle difference, but it's important because, rotator cuff, if it's torn, probably ought to be fixed. Whereas a labrum, there's a lot of conservative options.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that offensive linemen don't have more lower leg injuries. Because when they show them getting hurt in the game, that could be any play. I mean, every they've got people falling. Yeah.
And they do, and that's why they wear the braces.
Yeah. I mean, they're just...
Any given play could be a knee, a PCL, a MCL, whatever.
People roll up on their legs all the time.
I'm
surprised that they... one could make it through a season.
Yeah.
Circling back to Madden, which we started with this morning, he's the first to really highlight the offensive line and the fact that football is played in the trenches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't realize from the All Madden documentary that he basically was the first to use the telestrator.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Genova, did we answer your question?
You did. I'll bring the boys by to see you. We haven't seen you yet, so in office. So
I'd be delighted.
You guys be good.
All right.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's interesting in that after you practice for a while, whatever you do, whether it's spine or sports or nephrology or whatever, common things occur commonly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't see a lot of rotator cuff injuries in the NFL. You just
No. I don't think I've ever seen a high school, collegiate, or professional football player with a rotator cuff tear.
Not even a quarterback?
It just doesn't happen that often.
Isn't that interesting? You see it in baseball.
And there have been papers written on that. So baseball, because of the velocity of the throw, and most importantly in pitchers, because of the height of the mound, the rotator cuff does get injured more often. In the NFL, we see a lot of shoulder instabilities. In football in general, you'll see a lot of guys where the shoulder kind of slips in and out of socket, and they wear these funky braces on their arm. You can just see them.
Yeah.
There's not a team that doesn't have at least two or three guys wearing those funky braces.
Oh, man. Yeah. Plus baseball, and it's debatable depending on a lot of these throwers are going to have just kind of nasty-looking rotator cuffs. So there's a debate on whether some of those even need to be operated on.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So that's a wear-and-tear thing.
Yeah. So even that is not like, just because you're a thrower, you're destined to get a, rotator cuff surgery.
Scott.
What?
What are you doing?
I was just looking up some injuries. Sorry. You were talking about shoulders, so I figured I could, tune out a little bit. I could zone out.
No, because this next part is kind of important.
I'm here.
So it has been a long time, since we've talked COVID on Inside Sports Medicine. In the beginning of the pandemic, we talked about it a lot because we were learning along with you guys. And way back in the beginning, death is on the table. And I'll be honest, if you're not vaccinated, death is still on the table. But we've made a point to just kind of stay out of the fray. However, because of what's happening in the sports world, heck, because of what's happening in our entire world, we kind of have to revisit this again, especially with the Omicron variant. It appears, from all indications, that this is much more transmissible and that the duration between exposure and symptoms is 1 to 2 days. So it's pretty darn fast.
Mm-hmm.
However, it also appears that it is not as serious. Is that am I downplaying it? Here's the stat.
The hospitalization. Here's the stat that I heard is way less than the Delta variant.
Say not as deadly.
It's not as deadly. Yeah. It's not as deadly, and there are a lot of factors. I think Omicron is probably what I heard from some of the folks at the hospital and the ICU is that it doesn't go down to your lungs like Delta used to and the first coronavirus used to, and that's what killed you. So you get coronavirus. You get it in your nose. It goes down to your lungs. It goes into the alveoli. You can't exchange oxygen. You die. I'm summarizing.
Well, particularly.
That's
the orthopedic surgery.
That's definitely
the orthopedic
the sports medicine description of
a pulmonary infection.
So it goes down to your alveoli and you die.
Hey, sports medicine, can you explain what happens with coronavirus? And that's pretty much what you'll get as opposed to a pulmonologist or an internal medicine physician.
Thank God we don't have too many people listening this morning.
Or that we don't have to treat it.
Well, in my professional opinion, you get it, you get sick, you die.
Yeah. Could be. So Omicron does not seem to be going down into the lungs as often. Now, if you have pre-existing medical conditions and you're not vaccinated, all bets are off.
Yeah.
So this past Wednesday, was the highest number of positive tests ever recorded since the pandemic started in the U.S. Mm. 500,000 positive tests. They think that the majority were Omicron. Now, the home tests were not included in that number, and the people who had Omicron who were not tested was not included in that number.
Right. Which probably is a lot of people, because if you try to go get a test now,
I know
the home tests are sold out. And try getting online for CVS or Walgreens to get a test, or wait in those car lines for hours. Right. Your numbers are probably underestimated.
And part of the reason why there's so many positive, you also have so many more people testing.
Exactly.
Getting tested.
Right.
Yeah.
So that said, let's just say somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000 positive people on Wednesday alone. At the same time, and these are not my numbers, I read them. Hospitalizations are up 14%. You'd think they'd be up a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And deaths were down 7%. Mm. To me, that's telling information. The problem we're facing now is that so many people have the coronavirus symptoms that we don't have enough pilots to fly the planes. We don't have enough football players to play on Sunday. We don't have enough workers to come to Texas Sports Med. We've worked half days. We were crushed.
But look what's happened.
What's happened?
What do we do? We change the rules. NFL, change the rules. NBA, change the rules.
NFL, change the rules.
CDC.
Wait, stop.
CDC, change the rules.
Wait, flag on you. So are you saying that the change of the rules is something sinister or something?
No, I don't think he's saying
that. No,
I think
it's
he's
beyond
saying
medical.
Witness. He's saying there, witness what's happening. Are you saying witness what's happening, that they're changing the rules
and
because they don't have enough people to fill the...
And even the CDC recommended that, or even the CDC director said that, well, other factors besides just pure medicine, psychological issues and economic issues went into the decision to decrease the quarantine period from 10 days to 5 days. I don't disagree. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that now that there's a broader perspective, and I think people feel, because they know Tarek's statistics, that it's safer.
Exactly.
I don't disagree. In fact, I agree with narrowing
Are
the
we up
window.
To... Are we up to 62-63% vaccinated rate in the United States?
I don't
remember the number, but I think it's in the low 60s. And we also have a whole bunch of people have had it.
Yeah.
So my guess is what is happening, and they may be breakthrough infections. I'm not a coronavirus expert by any stretch.
Well, I know people that have been vaccinated and boosted and have had it twice.
I get it. But they're not going to die.
Right.
No. They're not going to go to the hospital, and they're not going to die.
So what do you think about testing asymptomatic people? So my daughter calls me a week or two ago. Okay,
save that.
I'll save the story because it's an interesting thing.
All right, quick little break, coming right back. I really like what you did there, Jacob. You played the music while the ad was still running. That was cool.
Well, that's the idea. That's what pretty much everybody does. Get that, the what we call the rejoin, get started, and you hit the music to come up underneath it.
I have never noticed that before, but I did today. Good work.
Well, thank you. I'll give Jay credit. He does it all the time.
You want to run the board from here on out? Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard, Scott Blumenthal on this new format for Inside Sports Medicine. So the new format is shorter, but hopefully more content. Hopefully. Same old guys, though.
Same guys.
Well, Scott and I are old, and you're getting there.
Older. I don't consider you guys old.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're aging, but I don't know if we're older. I mean, we're older, but I don't know if we're old. Yeah. I wouldn't call you guys old.
Walking down the stairs at 5 in the morning is reminds me that I'm old. It reminds me that I'm old. Speaking of, I wanted to kind of finish up this COVID thing. And I don't want to get controversial. I will not get controversial. But there have been, what, over a billion, almost 2 billion vaccines worldwide now?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't been vaccinated, you probably ought to. You just probably ought to. And if you haven't been boosted, you probably ought to. It has been tested. And, yes, there are some extraordinarily rare issues with the J&J but in the big scheme of things, it is. I don't know that you're going to come across a medical professional that will say don't. Anyway, that's my public service message for today. You probably ought to get vaccinated. But on the sports medicine side, we are dealing with teams that are decimated because people are sick in their home and they're exposed, and NHL had to cancel games in Canada, and
none of the NHL players are going to the Olympics.
And the Mavs, I mean,
really? Yeah, I recently saw that. Yeah, the other
10
night.
Players are out.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
They're having to. So they signed. Saad, help me here. So the Mavs signed
Isaiah Thomas
for a 10-day contract, and he tested positive
the next day,
the very next day.
Isaiah Thomas, the guy who just played over at the Celtics?
Yes.
So does he get...
him go?
Does he get paid?
Yeah.
That's easy
So
money.
He does get paid?
He was with the Lakers, actually.
I'm sorry, Lakers. Lakers. Yeah.
So he signed a 10-day contract. He gets paid. He's got to quarantine 5 of those 10 days. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Can't even perform to get the next contract.
That was after Brandon Knight had just been signed as well.
Wow.
It's yeah. So we are dealing with... we're dealing with a broader picture than hospitalizations and intubations and death.
Yeah. And at some point, we've got to redefine, you know, the paradigm is, you know, like you said, this is something that's not going away. And at some point, you just got to resume normal life as long as it's safe. And I think, you know, the next month, after, you know, if we follow the South African curve, they're already on the downside.
Oh, really?
It was about a month. It hit them in November. By the end of December, it started going down. So,
well, I think sorry, Scott, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just saying I've reassessed my end to the pandemic, and it's February 1st.
Everybody, you heard it here first.
Right. So February 1st,
you heard it here first.
The pandemic is over. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have to wear masks on airplanes, because that's a federal thing.
Right.
But I think if you're vaccinated, even now, but, you know, it's going to be a rough month because of the Omicron.
Well,
but I think if you're vaccinated, you can pretty much, after this Omicron thing, you know, maybe a month, pretty much just lead a normal life.
I think so, too. Treat it like a cold or a flu. Here, and look, and to those of you who 2 years ago were saying, hey, it's just the flu, I'm not going to give you credit. Because 2 months ago, it was a different, I'm sorry, 2 years ago, when all this first started, and there were people that had no scientific background whatsoever. Oh, it's just the flu. It's just the flu. No, the original coronavirus was deadly. We've lost a million people in the United States to that.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is that it has become and is becoming more like the flu. And that's why there's Delta and Omicron. And by the way, what's the next Greek letter? Because I don't know.
I'm lost.
Yeah. What comes after Omicron? Anybody have an idea?
I don't know. I think the next couple months will be
Theta. Chi. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out Greek letters.
Isn't she married to Michael Douglas?
Zeta-Jones?
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, yeah. But I mean, you know, and this happened last year, when people get together for Christmas and New Year's, then you see what happens a few weeks after, you know? So I think...
Yeah, you're right.
So we'll see over the next 6 weeks what happens because of Christmas and New Year's.
Well, look at the stands of the two bowl games last night. I mean...
Did you see New York last night? It was limited, like...
They limited New York, but they certainly didn't limit...
but it was tons of people.
AT&T Stadium for the Alabama-Cincinnati game.
No, this is Texas.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't in Florida. Well, it's an interesting... The two bowl games, Florida and Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know...
So when is the national championship?
It's the 10th, as of now.
Right.
It is possible it could... I mean, they have it in the contract that if you have an issue with one of the two teams, they could delay it.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Monday.
And where is it being played?
Indianapolis.
Oh, inside, indoors.
So is that a bowl game?
No, it's technically not a bowl game. It's its own separate thing.
Mm.
Well, okay, let's kind of finish up on a good note. Alabama, Georgia.
Wow. Again.
Who do you take?
Bama, man.
Bama.
Georgia looked awfully tough yesterday.
Yeah. They looked tough going into that last time they played Bama, and then Saban reminded everybody why he's the guy.
So I want to thank you all for joining us this morning. Yes, having a show on New Year's Day was a little bit odd for us, but to peel the curtain back, we didn't have a best of that was only an hour, so we had to come in. And since all of us are oldish, I didn't do much last night. New Year's is overrated, at least in my mind. We thank you for joining us. We thank you for listening. We thank you for learning. We thank you for having this opportunity to be on The Ticket. And feel free to email us if you have any questions or comments. Feel free to come see us at Texas Sports Medicine or Center for Disc Replacement. Until next week, on behalf of all of us here on Inside Sports Medicine and The Ticket, until next week.
Tell your friends.